studio in Glendale, California. It's Martin Zender. Everybody, welcome to the West Coast. I am in Glendale, California, nestled between Pasadena and Burbank and West Hollywood and Los Angeles to the south. And this is all at the generosity of Sandy Scott. And the meeting is this Saturday. And I'm splashing you with a little color here to celebrate. Don't know why I'm in such a great mood today. Yes, I do. The travel went extremely well. I got a wonderful welcome here from Sandy and her two sons. And so the Saints are going to start rolling in for the meeting on Saturday. So what is not to like? Not only that, but I am a mere miles down the road from where A.E. Nock wrote the book I have been teaching on, The Unveiling of Jesus Christ. Again, also compiled the concordant version, both of the Old Testament and the New Testament. And he worked for many, many years. The bulk of his work was done at, I think it's 2635 6th Street, East Los Angeles. I'm going to go to that place this week, and I'm going to photograph it, and you're going to see where all this took place. I'm sorry, it's just fascinating to me where these unsung heroes of God did their humble grudge and drudge-like work. Not grudge, but drudge. Drudgery, grudgery. You could develop grudgery in the face of drudgery. I don't recommend it, but it could possibly happen. I saw, before I get into chapter 11, because that's where we are, I saw a billboard. It was a Christian billboard, so therefore it was ridiculous. And it was, listen to this, I forget where I saw this, might have been on the way to the airport yesterday. It said, "Have you made God smile today?" Have you made God smile today? Because God is so depressed because of the way, well, the way politics is going today. And he's a Browns fan. And you know how the Browns are doing this season. God didn't want the Kansas City Royals to beat the Mets in the World Series, and yet they did. So God is pretty much in a funk over his universe. And really, you could help him. Please help God smile today by doing something righteous for a change, or go to church, buy Girl Scout cookies, volunteer your time at a homeless shelter, something to make poor God smile. And here's the coffee mug I'm drinking out of. It's the Mona Lisa, and she's got a nice, you can see it on the studio cam, she's got a nice, you know how faint her smile is. No, I want to see God's teeth. I want to see God's gums. I want to see that thing on the back of his throat, the uvula. I want you to make God laugh today. And I was talking to Sandy today, and she saw, she didn't see anything, but a friend of hers, she was talking to a friend of hers about God. I'm not sure this friend is coming to the meeting, because he's pretty aggravated that I'm here, because I'm who I am. But she was talking to her friend about the salvation of all, and they began to argue. Now, folks, you know that I am not afraid of arguing. I've pointed out to you many times that the Apostle Paul was said to argue 11 times in the New Testament. So arguing is beneficial. But we're babies today. We're politically correct weanlings because we are afraid we're going to hurt somebody's feelings. And so everybody has to be right. Everybody's feelings must be considered. God forbid I should be right and you should be wrong, or vice versa. So this person was in the midst of an argument about the salvation of all. And Sandy, of course, was arguing for the salvation of all. And this other guy was arguing against it. Poor him. I do not want to be that guy at the Great White Throne. So I understand you argued against the success of the cross of Christ. Is that right? won't be able to deny it in that day. But this guy was upset that there was an argument going on. And he said this, and I quote, "God is crying right now." And that's got to be the opposite of God smiling. So I don't want you to make God cry. God is, I think, on a sugar high. He invented sugar. He invented artificial sweeteners, sugar cane, molasses, honey, pure maple syrup. And so being so sugared up, he's emotionally unstable, and he's at the brink of either laughing or crying, smiling or sobbing. And so based on what you do God is going to be either having a great day or horrible day. I don't want you to be the responsible party. I don't want you to be the responsible party. Thank you for God having a disastrous day. Now, the temple is going to be transferred. Now, I believe there's a little bit of discrepancy here. The temple of the unveiling chapter 11, where I'm going right now, I believe to be the false temple. This is not the true temple. And yet, for the time being, there are true worshipers here. Now, let's read the first two verses of the unveiling chapter 11. That's right, we are already on chapter 11. Hard to believe, but this is what I do. I keep a moving. And a reed like a rod was given me, John speaking, saying, rouse and measure the temple of God and the altar and those worshiping in it. And the court outside of the temple cast aside. Why? I think this is important. This is why I believe this temple is the false temple. The court outside the temple cast aside, and you should not be measuring it. Why? Seeing that it was given to the nations, and they will be treading the holy city 42 months. So this is obviously pre-return of Christ. We're still in the 42 months, the last 3.5 years of the tribulation, which is the worst part of the tribulation. And there's going to be a temple built, and everybody's going to get all excited thinking that this is the temple of God. This is Ezekiel's temple. This is the millennial temple. No, it's a temple. Just like Herod's temple was a temple, it wasn't the millennial temple. It would do in a pinch. Jesus visited there, so he acknowledged it, and yet it was destroyed. Because God does not dwell in temples made by hands. At least he doesn't now, but he is going to again dwell in temples built by human hands. Now you think God's making a giant step backward to do so. But he's not, because Israel has not done it right yet. There have always been a bunch of pretenders and a bunch of evil people usurping the place of the true leaders, which would be David, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the 12 disciples. So the temple that Jesus graced, those leaders were spiritually inept enough to beat the disciples and send them away and tell them, no longer preach in the name of this Jesus. So obviously, the tenants who are going to be there were not there at that time, and they won't be here at the time of the end. However, there will be, it appears that there will be some kind of contingent of true worshipers in this temple. And I admit to you that this is a confusing passage, and I'm not going to be adamant about this, except to make a broad general point. That is that the temple is the area of first concern when the kingdom comes. Why is that significant? Because, as you know, governments today, and especially church-laced governments, that is, those people, that part of Christianity that wants to take the reins of government, they think that they can legislate morality. They think that by government putting the Ten Commandments on the government building, that will somehow produce some sort of moral standard. But morality will never come from without. It will never come from a governing body. It will come by the Spirit of God within. And it will start with, if I can use a word that I usually don't like, religion. But again, God's true religion is Judaism. Now, I hate that ism. It's the temple system. Let's put it that way. I don't like isms. Forget I said that. It's God operating in the midst of his people Israel. I think this is one reason why I don't like this section of the unveiling. I don't like it because it is so antithetical. It is so opposed to our calling today. Because as you've been reading in my Roman series, we are the temple of God. We are the dwelling place of God today. And the very idea of walls or an altar. Because does he not mention the altar here? Let me see. Is the altar not mentioned here? A reed like a rod was given me. That's another point I want to make about the rod. Rouse and measure the temple and the altar and those worshiping. There it is. The temple and the altar. The altar was, of course, where they slay the animals. So you think we're going back. You think Israel here will be going back to an archaic system. But it's archaic in this way, in that it's been done away for us. For we of the body of Christ, this system is archaic. We're not going back to it because we were never there in the first place. This is important. The Ten Commandments never came to us. The temple was never built for us. When Jesus walked in the in Herod's temple, you and I could not even have gotten past the court of the Gentiles upon penalty of death. So how? What kind of access did we have at that time? So this is all very dangerous territory. And I say that because people are so, they're excited with this worship system. People are attracted to it. That's why you need to be careful now. And you can be legitimately attracted to an Israelite worship system as long as you wait for God and for Christ. Now, at this time, during this 3.5 year period, there is apparently going to be a temple in Jerusalem that I think could be built soon. In fact, a friend of mine, David Seelaff, is going to Jerusalem. He went yesterday, in fact. He's going back there. He's been there many, many times, and he claims to know, and I believe him. He showed me the PowerPoint presentation years ago that the Dome of the Rock in Jerusalem is the supposed site of Herod's temple, but it's not the site. That's not the so-called Temple Mount. That's not where the temple was. They've got it all wrong. Yeah, what a shock. I know. Israel has it wrong. The Jews have it wrong. Yes, they have it all wrong. And so the temple is not really there. Now, it could be that this false temple will be built on the site of the true temple. So it'll be a true false temple in a way. But Ezekiel's temple, the millennial temple, is still going to be built. And I don't believe this is it. And the unveiling 11, 1 and 2. It's tempting to think that this is the actual millennial temple that Ezekiel prophesied concerning in Ezekiel 44. We're especially tempted to think that because this measuring is going on, and Ezekiel gives us all sorts of intricate measurements. But this isn't it. This isn't it. If I find out different, I'll tell you. I will tell you. I mean, the man of lawlessness enters into this particular temple that's existent in the unveiling chapter 11. He says, I'm God. I'm doing away with the protective decree I myself drafted for the protection of Israel. And now I'm going to turn all the nations against Israel. And not all of Israel is in Jerusalem at this time. We know that God will gather the 144,000 from across the globe. And as we're going to see, he's going to seal two witnesses. But the temple is a stage. The temple of the unveiling chapter 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16 needs to be there because it is a stage on which is going to be enacted the final scenes of this eon having to do with worship. And worship and the morality that the earth is going to know during the thousand years will come from the altar, from the temple, from the center of Jerusalem. It starts with an altar. That's my main point today. Morality cannot be dictated to you by a governing power. Nobody can tell you to be moral. And in the kingdom, God does not start the spiritual renewal of the earth by a governmental decree. It starts in the temple. It starts with worship, because the worship of God, Paul talks about this to us in Romans chapter 1, the worship of God, the recognition of God as God is premier, is the prime necessary ingredient for right behavior. This is why Paul never tells you to behave yourself until he gets you in a proper reverence, a proper respect for God. We have that now in our spirits. We have a reverence for God in our spirits because the Spirit of God lives in us. Israel is still looking for that Messiah. Don't you be looking for Messiah. Don't you be looking for Jesus. Don't be on the search for Jesus Christ. He's in you, but Israel will need to see him and feel his presence in that temple. There will be a false one before there is a true one. But it's coming to a city named Jerusalem.